Soulja Boy tell.
Hello and welcome to the Tiger's Den. Hello everyone, hope you are doing good on this day that you're listening to the podcast. I'm actually recording on a Tuesday afternoon, which is a little bit early for me, but I am doing this for a couple reasons. One, got some news, and then two, I'm actually watching the LSU baseball game on SEC Network. It's the SEC tournament. They're playing Georgia right now. They're down 4-1 in the top of the second. And, you know, basically the reason they're down 4-1. So we scored one run in the top of the first. And then Georgia had bases loaded with one out in the bottom of the first. They hit a ball. And we tried to turn a double play, and Collier Cranford, who was starting at second base for reasons unbeknownst to me, booted or made a bad throw the first, and Morgan couldn't scoop it out. And anyway, Georgia ended up with bases loaded again, and Guy hit a base-clearing double, so they're up 4-1. You know, this is the shit that pisses me off with Maneri, is you always got to tinker with the goddamn lineup, and you can't just leave shit alone. And he's playing Cranford thinking, hey, he's my best defensive, you know, player, even though he's only batting 111 and he just struck out. He's my best defensive player, so I'm going to play him. But he's booting balls. Like, he had an error last game. And this game, he already screwed us and cost us four runs. So I don't understand Maneri with the logic, with the moving shit around, with the lineups. It baffles me so much. But anyway, sorry to go on a little rant, Maneri rant there. And I got some good things to say about Maneri coming up in a minute. But this episode is going to be it's going to be baseball heavy. So just letting y'all know that ahead of time. And I think it's going to be a little life heavy as well. And I'll kind of explain what I mean by that. I guess I could tell you now. I won't get into it completely right now. I'll get into it a little later, but just kind of reflecting and learning some life lessons through a show that I watched the other night, and it is that the show that I watch is LSU related, so we'll get to that in a minute. But anyway, let's get started with LSU football. All right, just a little LSU football news. Probably the biggest story to come out, and it's somewhat LSU related, is that TJ Finley, the former LSU quarterback, finally decided where he is transferring to, and he is transferring to Auburn. You know, I wish nothing. I said when he left, you know, I wish nothing but the best for him. We will be probably seeing him, if not this year, for sure the next couple years in Auburn, or at Auburn. When we play them, you know, we'll see what he can do there. The other news is we got another transfer. This one is from, I believe, Nichols, and his name is Pig Cage. So we got Major Burns and Pig Cage as our most two recent LSU baseball football transfers. Sorry. So I think that's pretty funny, the Major Burns and Pig Cage. So pretty interesting with the names we got going on around LSU football these days. So looking forward we'll get more into them later, and looking forward to seeing them in the purple and gold in the upcoming season. Let's move on now. Just a little bit of LSU gymnastics. I came to get down. I came to get down. So get down to your seat and jump around. Jump around. Jump around. Not a whole lot of gymnastics news, just that their longtime assistant, Bob Moore, who is the vault coach, he's probably one of the best, greatest vault coaches in in NCAA gymnastics, is retiring after more than 30 seasons as a collegiate gymnastics coach. So I know a lot of the girls were tweeting out that they were sad and whatnot. So anyway, Bob Moore, if you've ever watched a gymnastics meet when they do vault, he's the kind of older, heavyset guy who's always like pumped. He's very good. Look, his reactions are just awesome to see. So anyway, he's retiring. That's all the news I got for LSU gymnastics. We're gonna move on to the meat and potatoes of the show, and that is LSU baseball. All right, so with LSU baseball, let's, I guess, get caught up with to where we're at now in the SEC tournament. So we had games, three-game series against A&M Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The first game, LSU lost 1-2. We didn't hit very well in that game. It's just, you know, we didn't. Coleman ended up getting the loss. We had two hits. And A&M had six. So after that game, and what was interesting was that their pitcher, A&M's pitcher, you know, you're not facing really great pitching with A&M. So to only be able to get two hits was very disheartening going into the second game of the series. You almost made it, you know, had it like, I don't know if we're going to be able to pull this out, because we really needed to take two out of three at that point. We were sitting at 11 wins, and we need 13 at least to have a shot at the regional. So you were kind of like, oh, shit, you know, we're going to be screwed. We went into game two. We actually ended up winning in 13 innings, 12-6. Look, we were down in this game 6-2 going into the fifth inning. So it was looking bleak for a while. We ended up scoring four in the fifth. To tie it up, you know, we were tied when the extra innings, you know, we kept going back and forth for quite a while. And finally in the 13th inning, I mean, I was up late that night. Finally in the 13th inning, we score six and end up winning 12-6. Let's see who got the Devin Fontenot actually got the win in that game. Labus just was rough. Gave up six hits and six runs. He only pitched one in the third, and I was our starting pitcher. He's had really some bad outings. The past two to three outings have just not been good, which doesn't bode well, you know, when you're going into you know, a tournament, possibly a regional tournament. So we took one, and then we went into the final game on Saturday and ended up winning 8-2 to get to that 13th win that we needed. Mikael Hilliard was just absolutely brilliant in this game. He got the win with 6-0. I don't think LSU didn't they had to lead the entire game. Scored two in the first, three in the fourth. I'm sorry, four in the third, and one in the fourth, and one in the ninth. Ended up winning 8-2. Like I said, Hilliard was just amazingly awesome. And really, and Ventmer came in and pitched two innings. The bullpen in those last two games was really amazing. Considering that Labus went out very early in the game, in that second game, and the bullpen was able to come in and hold them. You know, he gave up all six runs, so they didn't give up any runs. I don't think the bullpen has really given up hardly any runs in the past two games. Excuse me. So, you know, something that was considered a weak point of LSU was the bullpen. And they have really come on in the past three games to kind of solidify, you know, what they're doing and solidify the lineup and solidify the pitching staff. And they've really done a great job. So definitely hats off to the LSU bullpen has just come in and stepped up and done an amazing job the past few games. One thing that also happened was that Coach Paul Maneri won his 1,500th game, which is an amazing feat when you think about it. Coach Maneri has been coaching a long time. There's only five NCAA Division I baseball coaches in history that have reached 1,500 wins and won a national championship, and he's one of them. So it's a pretty amazing stat. You know, I do rail on Mannering a lot, and I don't like him, and I don't like his philosophy, and I don't. You obviously have to be a good coach to get 1,500 wins, all right? But I still just don't. I don't know. There's something there. And, you know, Les Miles is like this too. And we've talked about comparing the two before. You know, they just sometimes have a horseshoe up their ass, or they get good talent and the talent wins in spite of them, not because of them. And I think that's where Mannering falls in. Obviously, you get 1,500 wins, and that is an amazing, amazing accomplishment. So, I mean, just hats off to him, and I still think he needs to go, but I don't know. I don't know how to explain the 1,500 wins, because it really just boggles my mind how he has that many wins, because seeing what he is now, and a lot of those might, you know, probably came when he was before LSU, but man, it really does boggle the mind as to how that man has that many wins. But anyway, in other news, got some season-ending honors. Jordan Thompson was freshman All-SEC. Trey Morgan was second team All-SEC, freshman All-SEC, and SEC All-Defensive Team. Dylan Cruz, second team All-SEC and freshman All-SEC. And Landon Marceau was second team All-SEC. So out of the four honors that were given by the SEC, three of them were freshmen. So, and Jordan Thompson, Trey Morgan, and Dylan Cruz. So the future is definitely bright for LSU over the next few years. So getting the 13th win got us into the SEC tournament and possibly into the regional tournament. So the game they're playing now, versus Georgia, is single elimination. If they win this game, then they will go on to play Arkansas next. And then once you get past the first round, it's double elimination. It's important to get this win. 13 games is obviously a good mark, and should get you into the regional, but 14 games would almost seal it. And the committee, when they're doing out regionals and who goes, they take into account these games in the SEC tournament because they're SEC wins. So they're conference wins. So if they can win this game and get to 14 wins, then you know the regional, they'll definitely should be in a regional. The way it's looking right now, I mean, look, we were down 6-2 against A&M and came back. We should beat this Georgia team. I mean, Georgia's number is the 8 seed. We're the number 9 seed. I don't think they're better than us. I think we can beat them. And a big part of why LSU is where they are, with the 13 wins, is we've won 7 out of our last 9 series. But this is kind of a one game situation where we got to win. Now, look, you go up against Arkansas next, and we're in the bracket. Just so happens, as you know, we got Arkansas and Vanderbilt in our bracket, in our half of the bracket. So it's going to be tough going. I don't see them, you know, if they get past this game, I'd say probably maybe you win to Arkansas, but you probably lose, which means you'd have to come through the losers bracket in order to get to the championship. So, you know, it's going to be tough going, is basically what I'm saying. To get, if they get past this first game, it's going to be tough going the rest of the way. Hopefully, it will, whatever it is, will be enough to get to a regional. So, that, you know, covers the immediate LSU baseball news. And then we're going to kind of get into a little bit of life news here, life lessons here. And it does tie into LSU baseball a bit. So the premiere of, there was an SEC story, which I told you about last week, called Hold the Rope, with kind of chronicling Skip Bertman and how he came to LSU and how he brought LSU basically from obscurity to the national stage, and not just brought LSU, but really brought college baseball to the national stage, because college baseball wasn't, coming out of the late 80s. I mean, it was there, but it wasn't, in the program. They said, baseball, especially at LSU, was just a filler time till football starts, and that's how it was. When he came here, in the show, they talked about he went to the board of supervisors with a list of 60 things that he wanted done around the stadium to improve it. And those early players weren't just playing ball. They were working the grounds crew. They were painting fences. They were, scraping gum off the seats. No detail was too small for Skip to cover. I mean, he even sent a graduate assistant in his uniform up into the stands at one point to make sure that the hot chocolate in the concession stand was hot. I mean, there was just this attention to detail that Skip brought to the program, and it was needed. And he handed out every season, he would hand out this book of basically expectations for his players, and even the minute things like running on and off the field, things like that. And it kind of reminded me of when I was in high school at Jesuit. Our coach, Coach Dave Morrow, did the same thing. I remember him handing us packets, and in it were all these just things that he expected from us. And one of those first things was running off and on the field, not jogging, not walking. When the inning's over, you sprint off the field. And when the inning starts, you sprint on the field to your position. And it's those little things that build up and make you a team. And one of the things, well, the name of the show of the SEC story was called Hold the Rope. And Hold the Rope was a saying that Skip used a lot. And basically, how he explained it is, if you are on one end of the rope hanging off the side of a mountain or a cliff, who do you want at the top holding on to the other end to make sure you don't fall? And he wasn't looking for a specific person. What he was looking for, the answer is you want a teammate up there. You want someone that is pulling in the same direction as you, someone who has the same goals and desires as you do, someone who is just your teammate, and y'all have one heartbeat, and y'all are just in sync. And it was a theme throughout his coaching stay and throughout the show. In one particular game, he pulled a pitcher out, and when Skip took a pitcher out, he never took the ball from the pitcher. He always wanted the pitcher who was coming out to hand the ball to the pitcher that was coming in. And in one particular game, he took a pitcher out, and the pitcher handed the relief pitcher the ball and whispered to him, "Hold the rope." And it's just, and you can see him, they showed the video of it, and you can see him mouth, "Hold the rope." Like, and the players knew what that meant. He's like, "I'm passing this on to you. You're my teammate. I trust you. We're pulling in the same direction. I trust you that you are going to come into this game, you're going to do your business, and you're going to get us the win." And he did. And that's another thing that Skip, really pushed was believe in yourself and believe what you can do as a team, believe what you can do as a person, and then perceive it and see it in your mind. See you getting the hit, see you getting the game-winning hit, see you getting the game-winning strikeout. Just seeing that and picturing in your head over and over and over again. And if you do that, if you believe and you perceive, it will come true. It will come to fruition. And it was just amazing to see him. All the players that were on this show that gave interviews that talked about him, they all had the same, a lot of the same stories. Skip would give these big, they called them Skip speeches, before a game, and would just be able to motivate you to where you would just want to run through a brick wall. And he knew, Skip knew, and instilled in his players that You can do anything. We're going to go out there. We're going to win games. I'm not playing to lose games. I'm playing to win games. I'm not playing to be cute. See, that's one thing that Mineri does. He tries to get cute at times, and he's gotten them in trouble in past pitching this person because you think you're going to lose the game. So I'm not going to throw my stud starter because I'm already conceding that I'm probably going to lose this game. Skip Bourdon would have never done that. He would have pulled his ace and said, "Son, go out there and win the game." And he would have told his hitters, "Hitters, I know we're going against their ace too, but you're going to hit this guy and you're going to win the game." And Mineri doesn't do that. He tries to get around things. He tries to get around, if we're going against their ace, I'm not going to pitch my ace because we're going to probably lose anyway. So I'm going to throw some scrub pitcher in there, or my second or third day starter in there. Because I'm already basically conceding that we're probably going to lose. And with that kind of attitude, you're going to lose. You're not only going to lose in a game of baseball, but you're going to lose in the game of life. I had my daughter watch that Hold the Rope show with me last night. And in the hopes, and I've talked about her before, and I try to instill just positive attitude. She wants to be a golden girl. She's big into dance. She dances at her high school, and she wants to be a golden girl when she gets older. And I tell her all the time, you've got to work hard to do it. And then last night, just watching the show, she got the message. I need to perceive it. I need to believe that this is going to happen. I need to perceive that this is going to happen. I told her, you need to see yourself in that golden girl's uniform, walking down the hill before football games, walking on the field during halftime or pregame, and performing in front of 100,000 people. You need to envision you doing that. If that's something that you want to do, you have to envision it and you have to believe that it's going to happen. And if you envision it and you believe it and you perceive it, it will happen and it will come true. And that's something that's lost on a lot of this generation. They just want to take the easy way out, or they don't want to work for it, and they don't want to believe that they can do it. They just go along with the flow. And that's a big issue with a lot of the youth of today, and not just the youth. Look, there's people that sit around and don't do anything. They don't work, they don't do anything because they don't think they can or they don't believe they can. They just want to sit home and collect a check. And it's not, this isn't, I don't want you to get misconstrued. This is not a race thing. This is black people. This is white people. Everybody does this. They want to take the easy road and they just want shit handed to them. And that's not the way the world should work. Okay? It's not. I have to go for my job. I have to take this training class. It's a series of training classes, like three or four, and it's this inclusion training. And what bothers me so much about this inclusion training is not that I'm against inclusion, because obviously everybody should be included with everything, but I feel like where have we gotten to as a human race where we have to take classes to tell us how to be human. We have to take classes to tell us how to see someone else who is different than us as human. Like, why do I have to take a class? Why is it mandatory for me to take this to just be a human being? There's so much hate and so much violence in this world. You see it, they got people attacking Asian people or Jewish people because of their religion or because of what they look like. And it's going on for such a long time. And it's not, look, it's nothing new. This has gone on for centuries, but it seems more heightened now. And maybe it's more heightened because there's video of it now and people are seeing it more. I don't know. But I hate having to take a training for people to understand to be human and to be nice. Like, be nice. It's just so disheartening sometimes, and it just makes you wonder where the world is going to, where you can't just be a human being and be nice to people and treat other people like a human being. We need to treat each other with respect and treat each other as human beings. No life is worth taking. No life is worth, there's no amount of hatred that you should have in your heart that makes you want to shoot somebody or beat somebody up. It's so dumb. And not just that, but like holding grudges against people. It doesn't make sense to me, and I've fallen victim to it before too. Look, there's people who, I've held grudges against and don't like, and I had to let it go. Holding a grudge and being angry and hateful towards someone, it destroys you from within. It's like drinking poison and expecting the other person who you hate to be affected by it. It doesn't work that way. The poison, you're drinking the poison and you're destroying what's inside of you. And you can't do that. You've got to just let go of the grudge and let go of the hate. Now, look, you can let it go and forgive somebody and still choose not to associate with that person because you don't necessarily want that drama and that difficulty in your life. That's perfectly fine. But you shouldn't hold on to it. You should go to them and say, "Listen, man, we had this beef. I held on to this grudge for a long time, and I can't do it anymore. I'm letting it go." And they might still hold a grudge against you, and they still might not like you. And if that's what they want to do, then that's them. But as a person, you just need to let it go and not hold it. And when you do, I promise you that you will feel so much better. You'll feel this weight lifted off your shoulder, and you will feel just relief. And I know I'm getting a little preachy here, and I apologize for that. And I told you it was going to be life heavy. I did warn you, but you just got to let that stuff go. And not to get any more preachy, but man, the world really needs to turn to God. And whatever God you pray to or believe in, whether it be Jesus or Jehovah or Muhammad or whoever you pray to, all right, there's room in the world for everything. And there's room in the human race for everything. I talked about holding the rope and being a teammate. And we need to all be teammates in in one race, the human race. We all need to be teammates in the human race, and we need to respect life and respect each other and pray to whatever God you pray to that the world gets that and that you get that. And if you have it, if you have that peace and you have that outlook of l loving humankind and loving people and just not having hate towards them, spread that. All right? Spread it to the ones you love. Because you spread it to one person, and they spread it to a person, and they spread it to, and it's just a chain. And that's the only way this world is going to change, is just to spread the peacefulness and the non-hate and the love. And I'm not some kind of, trust me, I am not some kind of lefty hipster kind of guy. I'm really not. But I do believe that at some point you have to throw away the left and the right and the Republican and the Democrat and the conservative and the liberal, and you just have to be a human being. People get caught up, and it's human nature. You want to be included in things, you want to be part of a tribe. And that's why people cling to these ideological right and left theories, okay? They want to be part of a tribe. They want to be, oh yeah, I agree with this person, so this is my tribe over here, and we don't like those people over there because they disagree with us. And there's too many people like that. You need to have some kind of middle ground. You need to come together with people who disagree with you or have different philosophies in life, and come together and have a conversation and come together and talk and figure stuff out and come to an understanding. Hey, maybe we disagree on this, but man, we're all humans. I have friends on both sides of the aisle, okay? On conservative friends, liberal friends. But there has to be a point where there's a middle ground. And I really think that a majority of America and a majority of the world is in this middle ground. You just don't see it because on the news and on TV, all you see is the far, far left and the far, far right. And there's these people who are stuck in the middle that are the ones that are suffering because of the far, far left and the far, far right. And we just need to get more people into this middle ground and not let the extremists on both sides take over and ruin it for everybody else. I don't know. I don't know. I hope this podcast, I hope you enjoy the sports aspect, and I hope you enjoy the life aspect of it. Again, it did kind of tie in with LSU baseball a little bit with the Hold the Rope. Look, if you haven't seen Hold the Rope with Skip Bertman on the LSU stories, please go watch it. It should be on demand on SEC Network. Go watch it. It is excellent. Don't just watch it. Bring your kids in to watch it. Bring family members in to watch it. It is really just a great show. It was extremely well done. Very, very inspirational. Like I said, I had my daughter watch it, and I really feel like she was inspired by it. And just remember, believe in it, believe what you can do, perceive it, and it will happen and it will come true. And I'm gonna believe that LSU can come back in this game against Georgia and hopefully win. And hopefully, maybe they watched Hold the Rope last night and they believe and they perceive that they can come through and win. Again, just look, find that middle ground. Go out, reach out to the people who you're holding grudge against, and let it go, because you will be in such a better place if you do. I promise you. So anyway, that's all the show we have for you right now. We want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling your friends about the Dome Patrol United Network, where you have to only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, the Dome Patrol Podcast, the BSN Beer Saints Podcast, the Pelican Plunge, the Premier League Podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, which I will be on this week's episode of Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. We're going to be recording tomorrow. It'll probably be out later this week. And we're going to be talking about gambling in Louisiana. It seems like it's going to be passing, so we're going to be talking about different ways that you'll be able to gamble and different apps you'll be able to use and things like that. So we'll be going over all that. I'm very excited about it because I am looking forward to finally being able to play some daily or weekly fantasy football. And then also The Tiger's Den, which is the show you're listening to now. Follow each show on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, at Dome Patrol UK, at BSN Beer Media, at Taking the Over, and at Tiger_podcast. Follow us on Facebooks for live streams. Just search for Dome Patrol Podcast. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, go to domepatrolpodcast.com. Thank you for listening, and we will see you on the other side. Good night, Tiger Nation.
Hey, fighting tigers, fight all the way. Hey, fighting tigers, win the game today. You've got to know how you're doing fine. Hang on to the ball and you hit the wall and smack right through that line. You gotta go for the touchdown. Run up the score. Make Mike the Tiger spin right up and